episode 49. We are back with two brand new guests. We've got Craig Todd Brickwork, and we've got Big Nath, who works with Craig.
Aye, that's me.
Ah, that's what we like to hear. So, Nathan is actually going to fill in as well tonight.
Yeah, got two big Naths.
Two big Naths. What more could you want?
You're sort of the love child of Peter Booth.
Somewhere in the middle.
A Mark Tiff.
I reckon closer to Mark, though.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I was going to say from your body, I would have said Pete.
Brilliant. Thanks, mate.
Pete will take that as some credit. But who would you like to get into first, then? Because are you two related at all?
Nah.
You're not related. So we'll do is, who are we going to pick to get into first? Because what we tend to do with the podcast is we take you back to your left school.
For me, when I left school, I wanted to be a pilot in RAF, but then very late on, I discovered that this was my dream for my whole life, and I realised that
you were colourblind.
I actually need glasses, like, and I didn't know that.
You're pretty strict on
that. Because on the adverts, it's like, if you can fix a bike, you can drive a bus. I was like, I'm going to be a pilot, you know what I mean? And then I was like, no, and I was like, right, well, I'm going to...
When did you actually apply?
No, but it was I was in the Air Cadets, that's as far as I got, right?
And then... I knew a few people in the Air Cadets, never did it myself.
You weren't missing much, right? Just camping out in fields, that's all you're missing out. And then...
Can I just ask, actually, in the Air Cadets, do you get to go in a plane?
Scholarship? No. Well, that's what I couldn't understand, because you've got to have really good vision to be a pilot, but you're not old enough to legally drive a car, but you can do your flying scholarship and take control of an aeroplane, well blind, like I am.
Way less planes to crash into than cars, though.
Well, is that? I think it's only a little plane, so the most things just wipe out all the idiots while the teenagers just give them a plane. I think that's all it is.
That's the real test. If you survive that, you get to become a pilot.
Well, unless you've got glasses, which didn't tell us that then.
Oh, could you imagine? Obviously, he goes, and he actually goes to do the test, and then they're like, God, this guy's so crazy, just tell him he needs glasses.
It's just been gaslit for the last 15 years.
You know, now when things start making sense and you've just done it,
is it?
But
I found you can see perfectly, and it's always just confused you.
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and go, and then I remember I need glasses. So I reckon it's all in the head, because you know what I mean. But it shattered my dreams of being a pilot.
so you're 16 at this time. You leave school.
Wait, I was about 15, about to leave school, and then I can't be a pilot. I'm going to be wanting to be an engineer in the RAF. And then I thought, it's a big commitment, so I'll go to college first and then go in live a bit, before I'm 18, and then go in.
What did you study at college?
I'd done electrical engineering in college when I was 16. But then I realised I wasn't clever enough, the top and bottom of it. Because not only am I blind, I'm really stupid.
You need to stop listening to other people, I think.
That's what I'm doing, you know, because in that way, he didn't get back to us in 2022. Now look, I'm here.
I was going to say, is this what you wrote on your CV when you first sent him an email? Really blind, I'm really, really stupid. Can I have a job?
I'm really stupid. I couldn't have college. I can't see now. I'm starting to go deaf because I use tools without earplugs, so that's why I'm deaf.
Hope you don't get him checking the level of brickwork.
Yes,
bang on that.
A massive labour shortage in the north, if that was the winning CV.
Well, that's it, I think.
Right there. He takes a piss. Is that why you moved to Birmingham? Take pity on you down here.
But the saga continues, because everyone in my family's a joiner.
Okay.
So I wanted to, so I was like, right, I'm going to be a joiner, because if they can do it, I can do it. And then David Cameron, if you're watching, thanks for shutting down the centre and cutting the funding, because I'd done me level one, and then I went back to do me level two, and they were like, it was shut.
They just
shut it down. It was called Leamside at the time, and they shut it down. And I was just, me and my mate were like, hey, day off sort of thing. And then the day off turned to a week off, then a month off, and then we're like, we didn't hear anything until it opened under our new name. That's how we found out.
How long was that?
This was probably when I was about 17. And then it reopened, and then it was called something else. But what they actually done then was put you on a work placement. And then, so they had to find you something. You went there a day a week.
Did you have any issues with that? Because we always get people, we've had apprentices on before and we always get it in the DMs and stuff. People are really, really struggling to get positions during their apprenticeship.
I think it's got worse recently because we've been doing this now 2.5 years and the amount of messages we're getting saying, do you know anybody that can help me? I'm in this area, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like it's actually getting worse since we started doing the
Did show. They find you a position fairly quickly or did you have to do it yourself?
Well, what happened was, you could sort of find one yourself. The RAF on me revenge. I can't be a pirate, but I'm going to come and lay a brick so you're like it or not. And then, what happened was, I ended up, they were like, you can continue on your level, like, from your level one joinery, and then... But they were like bricklaying. There's a bricklaying place where I was like, nah, bricklaying placement, nah. And then eventually I was that sick of being unemployed. I was like, I'll do it. That's how I fell into bricklaying.
Oh, just no other option.
I was just like,
you're really bigging up your trade there.
Just, every dream I've got, they're just shattering. I want to be a joiner. But it was great though. I do prefer it.
We'd like to apologise to all of the bricklayers out there. It is a valuable trade.
It is a valuable trade, and I'm sorry I'm not a very good poster child for you, but everything else has failed, and I've just landed on your lap, and I'm from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. I really am.
To be fair, though, you can see why a lot of people just jack it all in, can't you?
Yeah.
If you can't actually get to do...
I mean, fair play for being that tenacious and just carrying on going.
Going back to the college, is that the only one then in the area that does any sort of vocational skills training? Is that the only one?
Well, from where I'm from, Hebburn, in South, everyone tend to go to South Tyneside College, which is in South Shields, not long away. And then, but there is other colleges about, but South Tyneside College is sort of the thing, other than the one that got shut down on us, that was the closest. And I ended up saying yes to the bricklaying. And I ended up doing it. And I got put. I'm not going to name him. Basically, what happened? And my dad told us straight away because I went in. I was keen as out, and I was going to college like one day a week, and then doing the other four for him. Like he was meant to be teaching us. And then a long time went where it nearly went 2 years, and I didn't actually lay one brick for him. Like, it was that bad. And my dad told us from...
What were you doing?
I was a bricklaying apprentice that never laid one brick for this guy.
What were you doing for him?
Well, just labouring. My father told us, a couple of months in, he went, he's using you for cheap labour, because I was on £20 a day at the time. And labourers at the time, like, sort of cash in hand was 50 quid a day. Yeah. So it was less than half in terms of saving money.
If you're listening,
money. HMRC. I hate HMRC. I'm not going to name him. So my dad was telling us from day one, he says he's just using you for cheap labour. But I was like, this is it. This is going to be my career. And I gave everything into it, you know. He was coming up with different excuses. He was like, at first it was, I didn't ask enough questions. And then I started asking questions. And then it was... I wasn't asking them. I should have asked that 2 weeks ago, which is, I mean, without getting too sentimental, but for someone who's like, everything I've tried to do has failed, like it started to get intimidating at that point because like, and then I started like doing his head in with questions. I was like, no, this is going to work. Like this is what.
I mean, what a stupid thing to say, because I mean, like, how many questions can you take in one day? I'd be like, shut the fuck.
that's what I was saying to him. I was like, if that's the case, I'm going to blag your head. And then he turned around and says, I haven't got tools. So but at this point, I was turning 18. So on my 18th birthday, I got a trowel, a level, like just the basics off my dad. That's what I got for my 18th birthday. And then I come in with the tools. And bearing in mind, it's been well over a year into my apprenticeship, never laid one brick. And then he turned around the training centre saying, I'm just here to give him site experience. You should be teaching him how to lay bricks for one day a week.
This is like...
So that's bizarre.
So basically
mental.
On TikTok recently, like we've been sort of thinking, how do we go viral on TikTok? And we had an apprentice thing, didn't we, that went absolutely nuts. And we were talking about... Pete sat there and he said... because his experience was a good experience being an apprentice, he had somebody that looked after him. He said he felt like, oh, well, actually, now that I'm qualified, I need to just pay back some of that time that he spent with me and stuff like that. But when you hear stuff like
obviously you're not sticking around. You owe that guy nothing.
And this is maybe why now it's got to a point where people are just treating apprentices even worse than they were 20 years ago.
Aye.
And that's why people don't want to go in, especially if you're £20 a day, you're 17, 18, you still want to go out with your mates or you want to go and buy yourself anything. Like doing that, and you know that other people are on 50 quid, it's demoralising, isn't it? So you're thinking...
And the fact you're not learning anything either. It's a lose-lose.
Well, that was me dad's concern, because me dad was like, it's going to get to the point where you've actually got to do your final assignment.
And you won't have learned.
And you never, won't have an
igloo. You've never laid a brick.
Aye.
Yeah.
And then and I started to like click on, because I was sort of in denial, because everything else had went wrong for us. And I was sort of in denial. I was like, no, it will come good. Like, I kept the faith, because it was the last thing I had. Because by the time you're 18, you almost, if you haven't got, like, you haven't been in any training or anything, you sort of feel like it's over by that point.
Half your mates have gone to uni.
Aye.
Or, you know, other people have got jobs and they're working. So if you haven't got something at that point, you're comparing yourself to everybody else, aren't you?
Aye.
Did anybody your age, when you first went into it, did any of them also go into the trades, or were they more uni or straight into work?
A lot of me mates were sort of like straight into work, but there was a couple of me mates. It's funny you mentioned that, actually, because a couple of mates I put up some shifts for the same guy on like a Saturday, like, because he was like, oh, bring all your mates and give them 20 quid a day sort of thing.
Doing
the thing, 20 quid a day in the van like this. And then, but all my mates after one day were like, he's a divvy, him. I'm not going back. That was sort of my last thing I was clinging on to sort of have a career anyways. But I ended up starting to make sense of it all, and it was far too late into the actual apprenticeship. He was talking to us quite bad, and then one day something snapped in my head, and I was like, I just walked away, because I was like, I'm going to, you know, it's going to get escalating or something bad, because I've had enough at this point. And I just walked away, and then the next day I went into the college and see us looking, and they sort of knew that I wasn't, like, because there's been some sort of correspondence between him and them.
Yeah.
But they've sort of been like, so they've knew that I haven't been doing it. So how did they sort of let it go on this long?
I think the issue is as well for the college is they really struggle to get people to support them, to support you guys. So if they get somebody, they're in a hard place, because I'd imagine they don't want to piss him off, because they think, well, actually, somebody else could go and work for him. Actually, they should be like, well, he needs to do this. If you can't do it, and he's coming back telling us you can't do it, move on. But he was probably like, oh, yeah, because he knows he's getting you for 20 quid a day.
Aye.
Which is just wrong.
And I think he'd have got government support for that as well.
He got two payments. Yeah, I think he got one payment of £1,000 when he first took us on. And then I think after like 6 months, he got another £1,000.
So he's literally just getting free labour.
Aye.
This is where the argument happens, is... It is, because you get government support, but I get what Pete's saying as well. Because
if somebody's actually training, though, and doing a good job,
yeah,
it makes sense. But in this situation...
If they are and they've proved themselves, I think pay them what they're worth. But at the same time, with Pete, what Pete was trying to say is, yes, you might get some government support, but then you might get somebody that comes good in the end.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is that doesn't count in this situation because the employer was...
Aye.
Not training you, wasn't teaching you anything.
Aye, and he was young as well. I think he was 26 when he took us on. That's why I don't want to name him, because maybe he's turned over a new leaf and all that.
Leopards don't change the
still
spots,
doing
mate.
Like you, mean?
They don't change the spots.
You ruined us. No, I'm only joking. But I am. So it got to the point where I had enough, and I went to the college the next day and went, listen, I'm nowhere near any further steps forward into being a bricklayer since I first went. It's been a year and a half now. I'm not going back for him, because we're going. I didn't like the bloke anymore. I've given it all I've got, and there's no hope now. And then the bloke who was there was like, well, if you finish with him, you finish with us, sort of thing. And I actually turned round to the bricklaying instructor, Ed Stoddart, actually his name, class. He turned round and was like, I'll have a word. And he went in that office, was like, this is a safeguarding issue. Like, I believe he's been bullied and exploited for cheap labour. I feel obliged to at least give him a chance to get his MVQ too. And that's what I done. They sort of paid me wages. And I got put through like a crash course for the last 5 months into being a bricklayer.
Nice.
But well, you think if you hadn't actually made that decision then, and you got to the end of the 2 years, you wouldn't have probably even had that opportunity.
No, 100% not. Because that's sort of the thing. It's like, I did leave it too long, but if I left any later, I would have been catastrophic for us. Like, I wouldn't know where I'd be now if I didn't do that.
You wouldn't be sat here with Bosch.
I wouldn't be sat here with YI, you know.
So from there, how did you guys end up meeting? How much time period after qualifying to...
Wait, I think I officially finished my MVQ too. Like, I only just sort of, like, passed me MVQ too. And then it was one of them where, like, it's a bit like learning to drive, like, where, like, when you learn to drive, you learn how to pass your test. And then after that, that's when you learn to drive.
Yep.
And I feel like it was sort of the same, which is, because I never actually had that insight experience. The only bricklaying experience I had was in the college. I ended up working with my dad and my uncle in the shop fitting industry. Sort of like, I got put through a crash course of joinery, actually, really. Like, I've mastered first fix, but the only sort of second fix I've done is skirt, so I couldn't hung a door or anything. So then for, like, between now working with Craig, I was sort of in limbo because, like, I'm not very much of a joiner. I haven't got the experience of bricklaying. So it was sort of that thing, and then I'd pick up agency jobs because I'd done shuttering joinery for quite a while. And there was sometimes I'd get an agency job, like, I can do it. And I've had no complaints. But sometimes it flipped me CSCS card over and it was like, you see, you're a bricklayer.
So what's Craig like as a teacher?
Oh, but that's what I was sort of going to get into because... Oh,
sorry.
I'm speeding ahead. After all that, and I had a couple of bad experiences with my last shop fit employer, I went, I'm sick of working away from my daughter. My daughter's six. And I feel no better off. And I went, I'm going to have to get back into bricklaying because I did enjoy it and love it. And then I seen Craig on YouTube. And I ended up giving him a message. I was just honest. I was like, listen, I didn't do my time properly. So you're probably going to have to teach us again because it's been 10 years from doing the time that I didn't actually do properly.
So how old are you now, if you don't mind me
asking? I'm 29.
29.
I'm 29 now. And I've worked for Craig 6 months. And I was just sort of like, this is where I'm at. Like, and sort of like, if you could teach us, I've seen your work, I think you're good at what you do. Like, I want to be as good as you. Just if
what did you say? Have you only been working together 6 months now?
Fresh. But I feel like I've known him for ages because of YouTube.
Yeah. He's like that. Feels
like he had hair like mine before when he took us on. No, but it's it is better as well, like, sort of working for these shop fitting companies where, like, the gaff, I didn't even know your name, you're just, but, like, working for, like, Craig, who's, like, from the top bit to the business to in the trench doing it, it's been a breath of fresh air, it's been mint, and I think I'm sort of picking up where I left off. That's what I feel. Craig will tell you why. Tell you his say. But my confidence, honestly, is through the roof now. And I just, the only regret I've got now is I didn't get put with Craig when I was apprentice.
Ladies and gents, just a quick one to say a huge thank you to our new headline sponsor, CT1. The best sealants on the market, voted for by the British public. Not only that, it's made in Britain as well. So go and support a product and a brand that is made in the UK. But I just want to say to you, they've got a brand new product out, which is the BT1. It's a combination sealant and adhesive, like the popular CT1, but it's perfect for keeping a hygienic environment. And it's designed to completely stop the growth of bacteria, microbes, and fungus. And not only that, this stuff is strong. Now, it's going to be available at Travis Perkins, Wicks, Juicens, and pretty much everywhere else, so there's no excuse not to go and give it a go. So we're really happy to be partnering with CT1.
I can't speak for anyone else. I can only speak for, like, sort of what I went through. But surely the college should have known that the plug should have been pulled a long time before it even got that stage. So I reckon there's more they could have done. And sort of, like, he shouldn't have took on apprentice. Like, surely, you know, like, fair enough, he was only 26. But surely you know, if you take on an apprentice, like, everyone knows you're meant to teach them. Like, it's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like in the... I honestly feel like if he did teach us, because he was a good bricklayer, and I feel like I would be, like, an asset to him now. Mm. And that this the thing, it's not just so much that, but, like, sort of, like, the time in between jobs. Like, I could have made, between when I finished that and now, how much money have I lost out on not being a confident bricklayer? Yeah. Like, it sort of ruined us for a while, but... And obviously, since it was, like, scary coming up to the 29, it's the last year of my 20s, I did knock me confident. I was looking at just literally just taking a job and thinking.
When you've got a young kid as well, do you know what I mean? And you're sitting there thinking, all I need to do is be making money because I need to provide for my kid.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about like yourself. You're just like, I've got to get any job.
Aye. Well, that's sort of what was like, especially with agencies. Like, I used to just like take anything.
What's your working relationship now? Are you sort of an apprentice with Craig, or are you...
Wait, I think the correct term is improver.
He still hasn't laid a brick.
Cheap labour.
He's only paying him 15 quid a day.
So take us back then, Craig, because you've...
It's not as exciting as big news.
Oh, I'm a barrel of laughs.
No, but to be fair, it's good that we've had you on, because we've been having this debate on social literally the last week,
couple of weeks,
where
everybody's
like, and you get some people like, you don't owe him anything, like, just once you're qualified, go and chase money, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's actually good to get, you know, your side, because you've obviously been mistreated. With some people we have on, they're like, no, I had a real good apprentice, like even had Dunlop with Bundy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, we'll crack on with you then, Craig. Take us back.
I don't know. I wanted to be a DJ, like.
Did you? The bricklayer slayer.
DJ Craigie T.
The Bell Prince of Fresh Air. Did you start doing it? Is he good?
Oh, he's good. He done like that thing? He done a bit. He was class. I was like this. I was all for it.
He was there
like,
with a trowel in his ear.
The only reason I'm not seeing you, Mint, isn't because I need him to learn how to be a bricklayer.
Is it still something you do now?
Sorry?
Is it still something you do now?
Is it something I would do?
You only like
Christmas party?
No, I wouldn't.
Need a DJ?
I wouldn't do
what
it.
What tunes? Now, who's your favourite drum and bass DJ?
Drum and bass DJ. I like Turno.
Do you?
I like Turno.
What about your MC?
MC Eskman every day.
Oh, I've no idea what you're talking about now. Not a clue.
Semi-automatic.
Blah, blah, blah. My favourite one. He knows, isn't he? And that's what he's like, just got three chunk legs. We had to put together three bunk beds.
Class. Come on, carry on with that, because I know that.
He's class in it. See, Quig, I reckon we should drop the child. You're on the wheels of steel. I'll get one of these on Amazon.
Anyone's on that?
What happens to me is like I go like a old school Nokia where it's like like imagine a Nokia whatever it was on there with Snake
5110
like
Was it drum and bass? Did you DJ drum and bass?
No, I was just like hard dance music. Yeah. That's what I like.
So you left school. Did you go college or?
No, that was my dream while I was still at school. Like,
okay.
I don't know, I started DJing at like 10 or something like that.
DJing at 10?
My uncle had some decks and he used to bring them round. Eventually he got some more, he'd give us his.
Technics?
No, I didn't get Technics. Yeah.
So you leave school?
Leave school and we go, there's someone in my street. So I went through like the DJing thing and then computers are really like computers.
I thought you were going to say, I left school 2 summers in Ibiza. Yeah,
you're speaking my language with the second one.
And then realised.
The computers.
Yeah.
And then realised, DJ, I'm tapping out, I can't keep her.
No. I really like computers, building them and stuff like that. And went to this training place, like where you went to, and the process, it was like a few days or something. So the computers are down, go and do joinery. So I went and done a couple of days and put us on bricklaying. I said, you make a good bricklayer. And now I'm bricklaying.
That's his history.
That's how it started. Is something going on in the north? I think there's a conspiracy. They're just pushing everybody into bricklaying, no matter what you want to do.
What they do is they give you a little taste of joinery and you go, nah. And then you end up as a bricklayer.
that was just like the...
So how old are you at this point, 16?
Whatever. father is when you finish school. Like. But I wasn't there long because it's a, what are the placements, what's it called? Where you were?
Resources.
I don't know. These placement places, and then they find you a placement. Mm. And they got us this job with these guys, and they put us through my time.
Okay. And how long were you at college for then?
2 years.
2 years.
Did you have a better experience than Nath then?
I mate, was class.
I reckon there's a conspiracy, right? They gave like the 80s a lot. They've done it properly, and then they messed it up for us. So now there's a shortage of them, and then they can charge premium.
So you go into bricklaying. Obviously, you go and work with a gang of guys.
Just they do like private work, like what I do now, around the doors, conservatories and extensions and that.
Yeah. How long were you working with them for?
It was 2 years, and that was when 2008 recession.
Mm.
I'm bricklayer now, like, and I'm mint. I was doing I was doing much more work than some of the people that were there.
Yeah,
probably bricklayer's 4 years old.
Yeah,
like, Ray, I want £12 an hour or something.
Like, yeah,
get out of here. and I just bounced around doing agency work and that.
Did you set up in 2008 when the recession hit, or just after?
When I was about 9 years.
So you just did the 2 years and then set up yourself immediately afterwards?
Not long after being paid off.
Oh, fair play. Because 2008, everybody was getting chopped, weren't they, at one point? Yeah, obviously, house prices started to tank.
We went on the site because I'd never built a house. Mm. I'd never built a house before, and started working with, Michael, went to see him this morning.
Shout out Michael.
MC Landscapes. he not set up by himself.
What, similar time when you did?
No, like not long.
Oh, or recently?
A couple of years ago or something.
Oh, okay. A lot of people, COVID hit.
Seemed to be a boom during COVID, didn't there?
Well, the boom was everybody wanted work doing. But the funny thing is the recessions, everybody, that's when businesses get made. But I feel like COVID, when you speak to people, there were so many people that were like, well, I was doing, I was on a zero hour contract or whatever, so I had to go and do it. But a lot of people set up then and are still going now. So actually, it seems that, maybe people just needed a.
How did you find COVID?
It was good, actually. It was good. I got to spend some time at home.
March 2020?
Yeah, March 2020.
Bloody hell.
Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Right, the one thing I do want to do is bring you two together now. So how did it occur? What's occurring? How did it occur between you two? You obviously chased him down on email.
Aye. Well, he wants you because you were going on.
You treated him like, I'll see you later, mate. Well, I heard about your rep.
You've been watching, what do you call him? Charlie Collison on YouTube, haven't you? And then I popped up and then.
I did.
And then that was it. He was
like, that's the one.
Job.
He's the one for me.
Aye. But do you know what it is, right? I'll be honest with you, right? I was watching like Charlie Collison. Like, he sort of, like, reunited me sort of, like, will into getting back into bricklaying. Because, like, you know what it is? I just need that, one last opportunity was, like, the... Do you know on Lord of the Rings when like, it's, like, the last raid of the Rohirrim? And I was, like, I was just bored. I went through a stage where, like, all the agency or Texas, I gave up. Honestly, I did. I gave up.
That. You're the last chance saloon.
I'm not saying that.
How do you feel about being the last chance?
Last resort. Do you know what it is? I'll be honest with you. I went through a stage where I was like, what's the point and all that? Now, my last was like, you need to get a job. And I'm like, no, I'm sick of it. Like, what's the point? Like, I think it was like 3 days. I was just rotten out. Like, I've tried everything. It hasn't worked. And then, like, Charlie Collison come up on YouTube. Or is it Collison? Because he tells, obviously, Collison, in it, wrong. I've just learned how to read. I'm on the Biff and Chiff book.
Oh, Magic Key.
Hi. I've just done that. I'm a 3-year-old level reader now.
Oh, well done, mate.
Cheers. I was like, you know what it is? All I need is something, because he's really enthusiastic about it, because like every bricklayer, the only really bricklayer I'd met who was positive was Ed at the thingy, and he was like retired on the site. And I was watching Charlie Coulson, I was like, all I need is that one guy who will give us that one chance.
So you tried him first.
No.
He lives in Essex.
Lives in Essex. Wait, Charlie lives in Essex, right? And I, you know what I mean? Like, I had to borrow my nana's BMX to get you. Right?
I'm waiting for him to go. Well, I did try him and he told me to bring Craig.
I couldn't get the commute to Essex. But then, like, it was just on autopay, and I remember I was depressed. I was just like that. And I thought maybe I should go back to Brick Lane. Maybe there's hope for us. And then he come on, he was like, hello. And I was like, well, he didn't say that. Like, but he was like, I could hear his accent. And I was like, you know.
I reckon.
And I went like this. I was sitting like that, right? And I remember his accent come out like after 4 hours of Charlie Coulson. I'm like this. And then his accent come on. I went like that, right?
You're on the mitts.
Guess a job. No, but then it come on. And literally from then, I messaged him on thing and told him what I previously said. This is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. And
what did you honestly think? I know he's here next to you, but did you think?
Tell us the truth.
Oh, fuck.
You could, like, I've had a couple of these, so you could do his in easily, like. A good sneeze would knock us off his chair.
Give us the truth. Is he still employed tomorrow?
I mean, the thing is, like, me, if I
he's useless when I got him.
If I had my own business, though, and I actually got somebody that wanted to learn, I'd love to be able to be like, a bit like, you know, when you do a wall or something, and you go, look at that, I did that. Or you take your kid, I built that. Do you know what I mean? Like actually seeing somebody else come out and then being like really good at the job and learning off you. That's got to be like a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. Like when we went on the houses, we got an apprentice off them. Like he was getting the piss taken out of him. And we took him off them. And he was a class bricklayer when he left. And he came to work for us. You haven't met him, have you? He came to work for us for a bit, and then he went down a rabbit hole.
I tend to find as well, the people that take the piss are the ones that actually aren't that good themselves. Mm. I always find, obviously, they go, oh, I've got to give you a bit of grief because, you know, I'm not happy with my own situation.
Can we talk about how you got into social media?
I started as soon as I went, well, on Facebook anyway. The Facebook page been around for years, like, and it's just it's now like 300 followers or something.
Yeah.
My wife was just like, you need to do TikToks, like, all through lockdown.
So it's fairly recent.
It's always the missus as well, isn't it? Who sponsors?
Yeah.
Everybody's almost like, oh, my missus was saying to me, come on, you got
it. It is. It's just like TikTok, go and do something in the garden, make a video.
Go and dance for me on TikTok.
And I just looked into it. I thought, I'm going to do it. I started the Instagram, and I started the TikTok, and it fucking consumed me life. And I spoke with Ash Mahoney, and Phil.
Yeah.
I said,
Phil, proper Yorkshire builder.
So how do you do it? They just said, all of the time, stories, all day, loads of reels.
Mm.
And that's what I did. I've done it. Like,
yeah, reels seems to go out to non-followers. So if I look at our stats in reels, it's non-followers. So the only way to grow really is to do reels. But reels came about because TikTok was so big. So I tend to find a lot of the people we've interviewed, isn't it, is if they were big on TikTok,
get big on Insta.
They've all of a sudden grown. Because I feel like Meta must have just gone, shit, we're losing loads of followers to TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just copy it in a roundabout way. But everybody that seems to, you know, like SQ2, Rye was big on TikTok,
yeah.
And then he blew up on Insta, I think.
What's your biggest platform?
Instagram.
Yeah.
So 102.
Nice. In a year and a half?
Year and a half. The majority of it was like the first 7 or 8 months or something.
Because what was happening was, and this, we spoke to the Home Improvement.
We had that from SQ2 that said that. He got to the 100K and then...
But what
it's like slow, a testing,
what,
yeah.
What ended up happening, from what I could gather, was one reel blew up. People were adding like 10,000 followers off that reel. And then what happens is the algorithm goes, oh, it must be a bot account. So then it shut it down. But the Home Improvement guys were saying what they had to do was then start tagging other influencers in, or other people with a big account, to get the account going again.
It's a hard game, like, isn't it?
It's a full-time job.
It is.
I don't care what anybody says, it is a football. Between me and you, isn't it?
I didn't realise that myself until I started working with Cook, because like I only...
Until you became the cameraman and you don't like any bricks.
Well, that's it, now.
Right angle, crying. Great angle.
No, because I didn't realise how much, like, my work day stops, but I didn't realise until we started hanging around with each other after graft, what sort of like goes into it now, man. It's like he's got two jobs.
Well, you've got a YouTube as well. That's
YouTube.
Like editing.
YouTube's hard.
It's mental.
Long form content's just a different game altogether. That's really hard work. What are you up to on YouTube?
2,300.
Oh, it's not bad, to be fair. It's slow growth YouTube.
But I've kind of like put that. I know it's a bad actually. Like put it on the back burner because
it takes up so much time.
It's like 6 hours or something. Yeah. I'm not very fast at editing, but 6 hours, it's a lot of time. And I'm money driven, I don't mind saying I'm money driven. This, and it's like 2,000 views or something.
Yeah,
so he has 14 quid, he posts the same video on Facebook.
This is the thing, because a lot of people go, it's too much time, as in they won't do any. They won't do any social media. But obviously, if you've already got one platform that's massive, that was the thing with us at uni, was Instagram was always big for us. So the YouTube and everything else suffered because we were we just put all our energy into Instagram. But if you can actually make that time for YouTube, like you look at, say, Mark, when Mark talks about it, he's like, it's a lot. He said, but if you're consistent, eventually the algorithm just, thanks for this.
And then once you're up on YouTube as well, that's where the money is.
Are you wasting time? I think that some of you probably are, and I have a solution for you. Nobody wants to do any type of admin. Now, I have a solution for you, and it is called Tradify. It's a fully automated job scheduling, invoicing, and quoting all in one place. Now, that software is going to save you 12 hours a week, and all by using a simple software solution. Now, you can try it for 2 weeks absolutely free, no cards needed, and you'll even get support in person from Tradify themselves. Now, when you're done, you can always come back to me and thank me, but just enjoy the extra 12 hours that you're going to gain from just using the software.
So should we do the final thought?
Let's go to final thought.
Right, who wants to go first?
Craig, you're up. You.
Know what you want. You got to know that you actually want to do it, not that you want the money. Because there's a lot of people, you get messages all the time. That. Yeah, they're like, you know, these daft videos on TikTok. Like, I've just made £3, £6, £12, the laid bricks. And like, oh, you made a lot of money in this job, so I'll be bricky. And you got to know that you actually want to do it. Mm. Like, Big Nath knows that he actually wants to do it. And you can see that he's genuine.
Ash Mahoney always goes on, like, the amount of post that Ash does where he says, I was born to, I just love the trowel. Mm. Like, that's when you know that somebody is doing it for the right reason.
And that's what I think. Like, make sure that you actually want to do it and just do it and just keep it. Get as many no's, you'll eventually get a yes.
Yeah.
I think another good thought is for businesses as well, like social media. You get a lot of people asking about that as well. Like, I want to do it. There's a guy the other day, he's retired, he wants to do it, but he's too scared of, not too scared, he just doesn't want all the negativity that comes with it. Mm. I say just do that as well.
It is hard dealing with the negativity, though. I mean, some people seem to deal with it really well, some people not so much, but I think it's genuinely hard. It is.
You just got to get your first horrible comment.
Yeah.
Be sad about it for a couple of days. Yeah. I'm speaking from experience. Just be sad about it for a couple of days, and then just realise that it doesn't matter.
But you can't control other people.
Well, I think that's when you realise that you kind of control it, because when people are going on at him, and like with me being new to it, like someone saying that, the only experience I've had is like someone saying it to you.
Yeah.
So, and then you can just say, shut your
people,
mouth.
People can be weirdly personal as well. Completely out there personal attacks.
Someone says, burn in hell, I hope you get bankrupt, to him. And I was raging, I was like, climb on it. I was like, I banish you from whence you came. And I mean, stick to what you're good at, like eating cereal out of a welly. You're a divvy, you know what I mean?
To be fair though, a comment like that to me, admittedly, if you think the brickwork's rubbish,
really got me.
Scroll on, whatever. But then to actually say, I wish you were bankrupt or something,
Anna?
He's like,
You need to look. You need to look at yourself. You know, put the wellies down.
Until someone's in that situation themselves, I don't think you'd ever wish that on anybody.
I know, but exactly. Why would you? Because we're strangers to these people.
Yeah, probably my way. I wish you would rot in hell. Go bankrupt and rot in hell or something.
I was furious about it, you know, because I'm religious, believe it or not, right? So I believe in hell, and I'm like, for you to wish that on someone, like you are, like you drink gravy for breakfast, mate. Like you are, like there's something wrong with
that's
you.
A TikTok. That's a TikTok.
You drink gravy
for breakfast.
You think that's a nutritionist meal? You think that's nutritional? Gravy. Just an OXO cube in the morning. That's what you're doing.
Look down the camera. So you OXO cube suck.
You OXO cube gravy drink and divvy. Keep off the comments. I try to keep a PC. Did I do well?
I lived it.
No, the mugs though, aren't they? I hate them. Like, honestly, I hate them. That's why I didn't do it.
I am primed for your final thought then now.
Are you?
Don't drink gravy.
Aye.
That's what you need on the t-shirt. Gravy train.
Give and drink gravy.
Gravy train, baby.
It's not think about nutrition. Not I'm the guy to tell you. I mean.
Oh, I'm going to actually cry.
It's like a big, nice bromance
now. Nice, cool. Like, it's all cool. Like, I've enjoyed myself. I have.
Yeah. It's been good. So what's... You're going to go home and drink some gravy.
Oh, Divin. Because before your night, you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell him how to do his job. The advice for someone who's like obviously listened to this and went through the same experience I did. Like, if you want it enough, you will get there. Because, like, I see it's like, there is other, like, the Craigs to me. There is other ones of them out there. You know what I mean? So, like, if you want it enough, just go for it. Like, I'm nearly 30 and I haven't finished mastering my trade yet. You know what I mean? So I'm, like, sort of young to the game. And the bonus is when everyone's got bad backs. I've only done it for 2 years, mate. I mean, I'm 40. I'm 40. I mean, that's why, like, I'm nearly 30. I look 12. I mean,
in your prime.
I'm in my prime. I am. Like, so there's people out there.
Craig, you're getting his best years, mate.
He is. He's getting the golden years. I mean, like 1994 Newcastle United. That's what he's getting.
Festino Asprilia.
That's who I am to him.
What a team that was.
Oh, it was good. It was
what
good.
What a team.
I mean, and hopefully he'll be back soon. But other people. Like social media things. I'm wanting to get into social media, not in the trade, but in comedies. Like I want to get into comedy, and I'm gonna give that. But I've mastered into not listening to all like the dumb grubbers aren't like leaving these comments and that. So don't let that get you down either, because I've had countless sleepless nights over it.
We had Dave White, who likes a bit of comedy and plumber.
Aye, that's what I'm wanting to get into. Like, that's why I'm grateful for the opportunity that you've given us to this podcast, because I want to do something similar, but not with, like, related to trades.
But
you
make
know
it
I mean?
Good.
No, you're all good. Oh, I was thinking.
Well, I just want to say thank you for coming on. It's
thanks for having me.
It's been really good.
I'd love it if somewhere down the lineage of your family you'd found that you were related, the two big names.
We're actually all born from the same place. We just create, there's a big stone and we all just sort of.
But it's like on outline now, we're just a piano.
What are you trying to say? It's a big stone.
We just sort of come from it.
We're summoned.
Stonehenge.
Aye, the druids are Stonehenge.
There's just business owners out there trying to summon us for cheap labour. And sometimes they get bored and wander off and we just roam the streets for a while.
But I think that, because I'm like a strong Viking heritage, right? And I think what's happened is I'm really from that era in the wipe me mind, right? Right. And then really they tell us to go and do this, and they're like, you can be a pilot. And I'm like, yes, I can be a pilot. I think that's what's happened to us.
He's the Viking of uni, like over here. Isn't
it? That's who I should have been. It's like, yeah. Bozai, this is what you should have been.
It's what you could have been.
No, but honestly, from the bottom of my heart, it's been a good trip down, good group of lads.
Do you know what? I've just realised I should never wear a white shirt again, because look at my teeth.
You're glowing everywhere.
Class.
Never wear a white shirt again on here. I've just realised. Terrible. Yes, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks very much. I'm a boys being mint.